I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Super excited to have you back. I've been off the mic for a little bit, getting things done in the real world, but I am back with a whole bunch of awesome interviews with people who are designed to help you learn the secrets to getting your message onto stage and in front of more people. And I've got a good friend of mine today, Amanda Panda Williams, who is the chief cheerleader for and ringleader for Yellow Panda, which is a company that helps people who are looking to get their message out there do that with PR and personal branding. And she has done that in an extremely awesome way. So I'm looking forward to getting someone, you know, who's often doing the behind the scenes for the amplification of the message rather than the person actually out on the stage, but she does that as well. So with all that being said, welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thanks, Victor. It's great to be here.
Now, give us a bit of a quick background. Why, you know, what is it exactly that you do in regards to kind of the PR and personal branding, and how did that all kind of come about?
I guess it comes from my background to start with, working in politics as a media advisor. So my role back then was essentially looking after the public image of politicians. So that was everything from, you know, their sort of digital footprint, so website, social media, dealing with the media, doing those media relations, doing that sort of straight PR stuff, but also working on local issue campaigns, writing their speeches, basically doing everything I can to support them as, you know, talent in politics. So I guess it was sort of a natural sort of progression then for me once I left politics to start doing that for entrepreneurs.
Nice. And what's... Yeah, if we were to look at, I guess, what PR kind of all entails, because I talk about this in different things that I've put out, is, you know, I help people get onto stages. And to me, there's online and there's offline stages, but a stage is just, to me, a way that you can amplify your message to have a bigger impact to people. So it's not just what you, a lot of people think of as your traditional stage that you're standing on, your keynote presentation, your sales presentation, your workshop that you might run. It can be, yeah, a stage like this, a podcast, it can be a webinar that you run, an online summit. But then there's this, also this other stage, and I know you help get people onto, say, you know, a morning TV show or the news and things like that. But like these digital and written print medias that are a massive stage that have huge authority. So talk us through a little bit of that and why I guess it's important that as a speaker, we start looking at this as one of the stages we should be getting our message out into.
Yeah, I mean, like you just rattled off such a long list already of all of the things that you need to be doing to stand out, to be building yourself as an authority. And then there's all those extra things that we do as well. So essentially, like, my role is to be like the pimp of all of those things, the pimp of public images. And it doesn't just stop with getting on the stage. As you said, it's about trying to get those opinion pieces, thought leadership pieces. It's about building your personal brand up through your own content, your own blog pieces, you know, by dominating your own social media channels, so that you get to the point where, you know, if the media are looking for someone to interview on a certain topic, they are reaching out to you. So essentially it's about having, you know, eggs in all of the baskets, so that, you know, like all of this work that you're doing and sort of putting yourself out there publicly becomes sort of your business card, and it just opens doors.
And so, yeah, I mean, with those doors, and you can use examples, happy if you don't use names and things for your clients, but yeah, a lot of people will be like, oh yeah, cool, I get in the newspaper, or I get in a magazine, or yeah, on the radio, but yeah, that might, yeah, that they might run workshops or do sales presentations or whatever it may be, and they're going like, what, this doesn't give me this tangible, you know, money in my bank straight away.
Funny you mentioned that, because I literally just uploaded a new blog to my website last night, which was talking about, is PR any good for online stores? And it was talking about how difficult it is in PR a lot of the time to actually measure like ROI. And, you know, sometimes I'm lucky enough for my clients to let me have a bit of a peek behind the scenes. And in one case, you know, having a look at some of the metrics in a Shopify store to see how many sort of visitors came across as a result of a PR activity. That activity specifically was a TV segment on the Today Show. So that's pretty premium, you know, it's national TV. We actually got inside the store and saw that we had around almost 10,000 visitors hit the website as a result of that going to air. So in terms of ROI, I run a little bit of math on it this morning, actually, because I put a post up on LinkedIn about it. So it's fresh in my brain and I'm so not good at math. But if we look at a modest sort of conversion rate of around 2%, so we say 2% of the 10,000 people that visited the website bought a product for $89.95, we're looking at close to just over $17,000 in sales from being on TV. And, you know, like that TV segment to buy, which is not the way you want to go, because that's advertising, you know, that's yelling at people and telling them how good you are. Whereas if the media invite you on to actually be a guest, it's got more social proof. It would be tens of thousands of dollars to actually just have a segment that went for 3 to 5 minutes on a national television show. So when you're looking at the ROI there, when the average sort of, I mean, the average industry retainer for PR is around 12,000. I don't charge that much, but you know, definitely if you're doing monthly activities where you're getting that kind of traffic to your website, whether you're selling a product or you are trying to get bums on seats or you have a service that you're trying to sell, it's 100% worth it.
And I mean, that's the cool thing, because I look at it from, again, this whole, it's building this whole ecosystem of social proof. Because yeah, even if you're trying to get onto a stage, they're going, all right, how can I de-risk this investment of hiring you, or even just letting you in front of my protected audience, whether that be a company, whether that be an event. And they go, okay, you've been on a nationwide TV show. You know, that is going to put down one barrier of, you know, are you good at presenting? Or another TV show may be going, are you good when you are on TV? Yep, that's cool. And then you look at the ad side of things, you can start using that as seen in, or you grab that snippet and you put it in there. And so there's this like secondary, it's not even invisible ROI off the back of that, because you're sitting there going, well, we had an ad with a random picture of our product. Now we had a clip when we were showing it on national television, and that one's giving us a 10 times return on investment, and that one's giving a 2 times return on investment. So
yeah, like that particular that segment, once it had been uploaded to Facebook and repurposed as a Facebook video, has got in front of about 60,000 people, I think, last count, and it's had over 6,000 engagements. So yeah, like repurposing that content, 100% what you want to be doing with any of those media opportunities when they come about. And you mentioned before too about, you know, the credibility and people wanting to see how you present. A lot of the time, television want to see how you present before they even put you on television. So it's really important to actually have some examples of yourself, public speaking or on camera at least, like some kind of, you know, showreel will go a long way in actually showing your presentation skills, because they are very reluctant to have fresh talent on that have never been on TV before. So, I mean, as part of the sort of pitch kit and the media kit and the way we build our clients up so that they're ready for that opportunity, is that we would actually have some of that video footage to be able to pitch along to a producer beforehand as well.
Cool. Well, we've kind of got a bit of an understanding of like, hey, this is how PR can, you know, benefit our branding, benefit our business. If we're starting to look at, hey, how do we go out and start getting that some of that PR attention, or what are some of the ducks that we need to have lined up in a row? You know, obviously outside of say going and getting someone awesome like yourself to manage that, but if someone's looking to start getting some traction in there, or even just lining up the things that they need before they go and hire somebody, what should they be doing?
Yeah, so I think again, just going back to what I just said about sort of having some of that you know, information available to producers or anyone that you're pitching to. So let's start with like a media profile, like an interview talent sort of sheet. We do those for our clients. So it will have, you know, who they are, a short title about what it is that they do, a really short bio. It'll have a bunch of talking points, the different things that they can actually speak onto from experience. And then it will have some like key milestones and sort of a bit of a brag section about things that you can brag about. We also throw in a few quirky things too, like we've got a client who actually had been in an MMA fight. So we actually talked about the similarities between getting the crap beaten out of you in an MMA fight and scaling a multi-million dollar business. That actually got picked up with by Business News Australia. So it's about getting really creative about, you know, how do you present yourself as a star, essentially? Like, how do you present yourself as a talent and making sure that you've got all of those things generally on like a two-page brief. And then I generally make sure that that's in a Dropbox folder along with complementary sort of assets like images in case they want to use a headshot or they want some photos or they want, like I said before, some video footage of you presenting a bit of a showreel, any previous media that you've been in before, all that sort of thing. So the first thing is to really get like your pitch kit in order and I guess like that talent interview profile sheet because as you know, in the podcast world, the first thing they want is to know like, what things can you speak about? What sort of questions should we ask you? And before you can even answer those things, like you really have to think about, you know, it's not about you, like personal branding and becoming an authority is about how you help other people. It's got nothing to do with you. It's about how do you serve other people? Like, what are they interested in? Those are the things that you need to make sure that you're actually pointing to with your talking points and your topics.
And I think
tying them into things that you've actually had happen in your life, you know, like you've got to have those real life anecdotes to go with it.
Yeah, it's definitely the what's in it for me situation. Yeah, with the, it's like, okay, I'm awesome at all of this, which can benefit whoever you're putting my message out to. Rather than, it's exactly the same when you go and give us a presentation. The person who just talks about themselves and isn't relatable, it just goes down like a lead balloon. When from say a person who, you know, they've put some of that stuff together, when are the times, I mean, obviously it's every time's a good time, but what sort of things would you be going to the media about, say from a press release side of things?
There's a couple of things to look out for. Yeah, like what time of year it is, like is there anything specific around this time of year? The other thing is just like watching to newsjack something like a current affair or something that's happening that you can like just jump on the back of or piggyback essentially. And I'll give you an example of that. We actually just helped launch a new food and beverage app on the Gold Coast, and it's a, you know, an ordering app. So it's called YQ. You skip the queue, you order, you turn up and collect your coffee or food or whatever it may be. So at the time, there was a lot of negativity, and there still is, around Uber Eats and Deliveroo and, you know, the delivery app industry and the issue that it's causing for food and beverage businesses in terms of being profit destroying, et cetera, et cetera. And there had been a national story break on the Today Show on this particular day about it. So the first thing I did is contact our local Gold Coast Channel 9, my contact Channel 9, and sell this national story, but on a local level, including the fact that this new app had been developed and that over 100 Gold Coast businesses had already jumped on board because they were so fed up and frustrated with Uber Eats and Deliveroo and wanted to basically give it a go. So we got some great coverage there. We've got television coverage and newspaper coverage. We've got magazines coming out, food bloggers, like a bunch of people. Like, it was just really clever to be able to jump on that national story. But when we talk about not just jumping on and piggybacking national stories, but also looking at, you know, specific times of year, at the time of this podcast right now, we are actually, you know, we've just come into summer this week. We're going into the Christmas holidays. A lot of publications, especially online, even television, are looking for filler type articles that do relate to this time of year, but they are hungry for content. So if you can actually, you know, write a decent op-ed or a decent article or a blog even and pitch it out, you've got a pretty good chance of it getting picked up.
And I think that's, you know, part of everything that you should be planning, I guess, in the seasons of your business is like, all right, when do I want to be, you know, when am I releasing a certain thing, and what sort of PR can I have to build into that to get, you know, those you know, hundreds or thousands of people coming to my website to either sell my product or build anticipation, and all of these things really build in. Because I talk about like the different authority strands. There's kind of, you know, I call it the star, but it's you can be speaking that builds your authority. You can use the press or the media, like the T of it. You can be an author and you can be, I guess, doing your own media, or it can be your, you know, your results or your experience that you've got. And all of them feed into one another, because if you're about to get interviewed, introduced onto on stage, it's like, you know, and we've got Amanda who's been in, you know, the, you know, Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, or the this and the that. It's, as soon as you walk on stage, you're already held at a higher credibility. Or if it's you're going into the media and it's like TED speaker, well, oh, okay, we're going to take this person on because they've got that credibility. And all of these things, you don't need all of them to be successful in your business or in your speaking. But what you got to realize, you talked about it earlier, is the opportunities, they all open another opportunity for the other. You might write a book or a viral blog piece, and then the media pick it up, or an event organizer picks it up, and then they reach out to you, and then you speak there, and then it, yeah, it just flows on from there. What other things that you would do to, I guess, leverage, or what would be the best things to be able to leverage off to either get more publicity off, you know, if it's a local piece, to try and leverage that up, or what you can, things you can potentially do with leveraging that or utilizing that media into your business or into your, you know, your brand.
Yeah, so going back to what you said about, you know, having a bit of a plan and having sort of a bit of a goal as to, you know, what you're setting out to achieve, I just want to quickly mention, because it would be completely remiss of me if I didn't, that so many people are too late when they think it's, oh, we've got to get PR, we're launching like next week, like we've got to do this now. Like generally I say to everyone, like it takes 3 months. Sometimes it can take 3 months from like the strategy, the coming up with the pitch, you know, waiting for something that is going to come along in the media that you can actually jack onto, and then, you know, speaking to journalists, doing the follow-up, and then actually seeing it eventuate into a story. Like it's generally around 3 months. So people need to be thinking like at least 3 months in advance. That's my warning there. And in regards to the content that you're putting out, as you said, like you can be found as well. So it's not just about pitching, but making sure that you're writing regular pieces, or as you said, you know, going and speaking on stage and really putting yourself out there so that you can actually be found by journalists as well. Like that's really important. And then another thing I might add as well is that, and you already know this, but, you know, speaking scares the shit out of people, and so few, too many people are actually doing it. So if you're willing to actually get up on a stage and talk, like you're going to stand out against so many other people who are basically just chicken. So, I mean, they say like the sooner you can get used to like just putting yourself out there and being comfortable in whatever public situation you are in, the better all round talent you are to be getting like all of these media opportunities. And the more you will stand out, and that's what it's all about, is about trying to stand out. But then thirdly, what you're saying about, you know, repurposing that content and putting it out there as well, definitely pushing everything out through social channels is really important. I like people to even go back and reshare like old content and news pieces like on anniversaries, like, oh my God, a year ago we're on television, like check this out, that sort of thing. Writing blogs about the experience and sharing it out through that way as well, you know, asking friends to share it, asking complimentary businesses to share it with their audience as well. Like it really is such a golden opportunity once you have it in your hands. Like once you've got this really cool article that's printed on a legitimate news site or website or blog or authority, or this video footage from this TV segment, you really, like, you can put it anywhere. You know, like you can kind of go to town with the spam thing, because that sort of thing is quite rare and unique. So yeah, 100% go for that. And yeah, make sure that you let people know that that's where you've been seen. So a lot of people will put the logos of As Seen on their website. I've heard of people too recently making sure that they're treating their cover images on their Facebook and on their LinkedIn as, you know, rare opportunities to also say As Seen In, and actually designing cover banners that actually, you know, push out some social proof as well. You know, generally speaking, Australia have an issue with tall poppy syndrome, and whenever we go to the States, we always get picked on for it. You know, like, you guys have a problem with tooting your own horn, whereas a lot of people in the rest of the world don't. And we really should be doing it more, especially if we've earned it. Like, if we've actually genuinely earned, we've worked really hard towards being a person that can say something and have it printed in the media, then you should be really proud of that, and you should definitely be putting it out there. especially when it's becoming like everything's so easy to like fake it till you make it these days, especially social media. You know, like when you have that rare opportunity to actually, you know, drive social proof home, then drive it. Like don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah. And that's the big thing as well, that not even just speaking, but like, yeah, if you write a book or you get published in the media or whatever it is, you have separated yourself from the crowd. Like, I know that's a scary thing for a lot of people, is not having that tribal mentality and being, I don't want to be the one that sticks out, which is the Australian and New Zealand way. But what you've also got to understand is, if you've got competitors, or you know, whatever you want to call it, if you've got other businesses in your industry, which you likely do, they, if they're not doing that, it means that you've got an unfair advantage over them, because you've got the social proof, or you've gone to the lengths to get yourself into the media where they're, you know, they're paying for an ad in the newspaper and you're getting a free column written about you, or you're writing that column, or you know, they're paying for that 5-minute spot on TV and spending $20,000, and instead you're getting it for free and you can spend $20,000 on promoting that to your own following and all those sorts of things. So you know, yes, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, I've written a book, and you know, I have, and it's, I was speaking to someone, they're like, but look, you actually went to the effort of doing that. You know, whether it's an amazing book or a crappy book, like, you've done something that a lot of people won't ever do. So yes, sing your own praises, because a lot of people are too scared to put themselves out there for fear of, not even failure, for fear of sticking out and you know.
Oh yeah, 100%. I talk to entrepreneurs who are absolutely crushing it. Like a lot of our young entrepreneurs, when we're talking people under 40 who are turning over millions of dollars each year in their businesses, who have legitimately said to me, oh, I'm really like cautious about going out on social media and like talking about business and what I do. And, you know, I'd really like to become more of a thought leader and be sort of the next Mark Boris of my industry. But every time I go out and stick my neck out and post about work, all my mates go on there and rag on me and like pay me out. And I really don't like that. And I think, you know, like, it's almost like in this day, you get to ruffle feathers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the mission is actually to find the haters. The mission is actually to get people, like, annoyed, like, to actually get under people's skin. Because if you're not doing that, then you don't have an opinion. You're not, you know, you're just not putting yourself out there. And it's really interesting, because I actually thought of this the other day, and I'm going to write a blog on it soon. But you know the old phrase, like, it's not what you know, it's who you know? I feel like, in 2020, we need to update that. I mean, right now in 2019, we need to update that, but it's not what you know, but who you know and who knows you. Because honestly, like, your influence and how, you know, like how many people are watching you and following you and know who you are, it opens up doors. I use it all the time to connect with people like all over the world. Now, I'm not shy of reaching out to like massive influencers, celebrities, you know, very well-known business leaders on Instagram. And because I actually grew my own following on Instagram to, I think, 17,000 at the moment, the way Instagram works is it obviously will rank like your messages when they come through in order of who's got the most followers and that sort of thing. But because they see that, they see that I'm in business, they see my content, like it's all basically set up to be like this sort of online business card for them to sort of suss me out. But everyone gets back to me, and I've built some really good connections, and I've got some exciting things in the pipeline for next year as a result of being able to create those partnerships through my Instagram account, through the authority that I've built there. And you just think about like the amount of people in business who, you know, B2B is like so important, so crucial. So yeah, like that's the big picture. That's like PR is a long game, because if you keep working at this over time, you know, as a combination of doing your PR, as a combination of, you know, getting out there and getting on stages and standing out and doing all the shit that no one else will do, you've got that opportunity to build that influence to that level where basically you open up doors and you can get in front of people that you would never normally even expect would like get back to you.
I want to, just before I forget to ask about it, are there any faux pas with, you know, you said utilize these videos, clippings as much as you can, or pieces from the media, as long as you're giving credit, it's all good? Like,
generally resharing. Like, I mean, look, I'm in PR, so it's all about like, you know, do it now, basically forgiveness later.
Yeah,
so don't wait to ask for permission, because it just won't happen. But in my experience, and, you know, like between, you know, politics and running the agency for almost 3 years now, you know, it's over 10 years in the game. I've never had a problem with that. I mean, we actually reached out to TV and ask them to send us the footage to use.
Yeah.
So, and they send it to us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't imagine them being angry that they're getting more publicity about their show versus another show.
Well, that's it.
Free, so.
Yeah. I mean, like the pod, some, a lot of the podcasters that we actually pitch to actually ask in their interview, like, how can you help us push this out? You know, like, how will you help advertise this? Like, they want to know that you've got some, you know, like, some channels that you can be putting it out to and that you're going to help promote them too. Mm. So it's like a win-win for everyone, really.
Yeah. No. Well, I think that gives us a pretty good insight. Yeah. If people are wanting to get their ducks in a row to get started, and then, you know, look at what's topical, start planning 3 months in advance, you know, start looking at how PR fits into not just your speaking strategy, but your business strategy, because regardless of if you're just trying to be a speaker, it's still a business. But, you know, for the majority of you out there, it's another leg of your business. So, you know, choose what you're going to attack, attack it, and then add on the next aspect of it, and then, you know, build that authority, and then you can start utilizing it. Appreciate your time as always. We always have good chats, whether the mic's recording or not. If people want to find you, get in touch, stalk you, what can they do? Where can they go?
Well, I live mostly on Instagram, which is at Amanda Panda Williams. Easy enough to find. Trying to lift my LinkedIn game as well, so I'm on there too. But the website for the agency is yellowpanda.com.au. I've got lots of helpful case studies on there that you might get some inspiration or ideas from. Pretty much spell out how we've managed to get success for our clients on there. So feel free to check out that and the blog, and don't ever be shy. I love speaking to people and making new contacts, as you know. That's why I'm in this game. Super networker.
And so, but before we completely finish up, so I will throw out all the links to there at publicspeakingblueprint.com. Who are the people that you work with? Who's your ideal person that you work with?
So essentially it's people who want to have all of this done for them. And predominantly I find that is people who've been in, you know, business for maybe around 5 years. They've got the budget to be able to afford to have sort of that, management, because what I offer is more of a personal brand management / PR service as opposed to just PR. So I actually, work with entrepreneurs to get them nominated for awards, help land speaking gigs, do all of the traditional PR stuff and the content creation. Basically all the stuff that they're too busy for, which is keeping them invisible, I take care of that. I actually make a bit of a joke. It's kind of like a Weekend at Bernie's package. They could literally be dead. They'll be dragging them around, making them look alive everywhere. So yeah, if you are an entrepreneur who wants to step up your public image and your game and build some influence, but you just don't have the time or necessarily skill set to do that yourself, then I am your best friend.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it again. We'll link all of that, publicspeakingblueprint.com, and we'll chuck in that those couple of blog posts that you mentioned as well, to help everyone find that and get a bit more insight. But appreciate it, and I'll look forward to catching up, hopefully in person again soon.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.